You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, I got to speak to the Irish drag queen Panty Bliss, who is performing her comedy show If These Wigs Could Talk as a part of Auckland Pride. She's very lovely, has had a very incredible life, Not to spoil too much, you can look it up yourself about some of her, what she calls her accidental activism. But another fun fact I learned is that she DJed at Graham Norton's wedding, which is kind of sick. And about the show, which has been performed in Ireland, in the US, in the UK, Australia, so first time in New Zealand, Graham Norton said, "It's so good, no one is making shows like this. I loved it." Just to put that into perspective. So yeah, here is my chat with Panty Bliss from yesterday. So your record-breaking smash hit comedy, If These Wigs Could Talk, is running from the 19th to the 23rd of February as a part of Auckland Pride and is being performed at Winter Garden at the Civic. Firstly, welcome to New Zealand. How has your trip been so far?
Thanks so much. First time here.
First time here. Got up to much so far?
On the schedule, we only have one day off, which was the day before yesterday, and we had plans. Everyone told us we needed to go to Waiheke Island.
Yes.
And then on the morning, I'm eating my muesli and I broke a crown. So our day off instead became me trying to find a dentist, then find a dentist who could take me that day, and then going to the dentist. So I have seen Sweet FA, if I'm allowed to say that.
You've seen Auckland dentists.
Yeah,
a
pretty
great
much.
Tourism excursion.
Mac, this is great in my tooth. Yeah.
So now, from what I've read about you, you have quite an incredible life, which you'll be reflecting on in If These Wigs Could Talk, such as with your accidental activism. Could you elaborate on what your accidental activism entails?
Well, I call myself an accidental activist simply because, you know, I didn't set out and join, you know, various groups to be an activist in my life or anything. But I am a drag performer and have been for 30 plus years. And, you know, in the queer community, drag queens are often the ones who are standing up on a stage and have a microphone in their hand. So in a way, I think that confers a kind of responsibility on us to activate, if you might say, for our community when the need arises, and the need arises often. So, but on top of that, you know, I'm 56 years old, and homosexuality was a criminal offense in Ireland until I was 25.
Mm.
So I spent my whole student years, you know, I was in our college and all of that, running around like every student should be, trying to get laid at the weekend and all of that, and sometimes succeeding, and that was literally a criminal offense. Now, not many of us were being thrown into prison or anything at the time, but it definitely had a very chilling effect on, you know, my community at the time, and that chilling effect spread into every aspect of our lives. And of course, you know, the society we were living in was deeply and at times violently homophobic at that time. So just trying to live my life the way I wanted to, I regularly came across obstacles that were in my way as a queer person. And so I was constantly forced to sort of activate, if I can put it that way, in order to overcome these obstacles and live the life that I saw for myself. So that's what I mean when I say accidental activist. And that life that you mentioned hasn't been very typical. And there have been times when I've been thrown into situations, big and small, where being an activist was absolutely essential to survive in some ways. So that's what I mean when I describe myself as an accidental activist, because in some ways, I think my activism has been motivated by selfishness. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to. And in order to do that, I had to become an activist of some kind. And in doing that, for selfish reasons, my own reasons, it meant also being an activist on behalf of other people like me. But in a way, I feel sort of that was really, you know, just a byproduct, and that my motivations were mostly selfish. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted.
I see. You've done an incredible job with your accidental activism. And yeah, so as well as discussing your accidental activism, what else should people expect from If These Wigs Could Talk?
I think, you know, when people see a poster for a drag queen's show, they have a very particular idea of what that is. And I love all drag, so, you know, go and see your drag queens. But my show isn't what probably what people imagine. I see myself in a sort of the Irish storyteller tradition. You know, in Ireland, we have people called Shanachies, and they are, you know, very deeply rooted in the culture. And they tend to be older members of the community who have memorized and developed these stories. And the stories can be funny or sometimes deadly serious, sometimes scary, whatever. They're just good stories. And they tell these stories often in, you you know, might be just in the corner of the pub, but also some of them become very successful and they tell them on stages and, you know, on screens, whatever. And I see myself coming out of that same Shanaki tradition. I may not look like your typical Shanaki, but in my, that's how I see it. That's the tradition I come from. So my shows are, they're monologues. I tell a various collection of stories, some of which are stupid and funny, and some of which are not funny at all and are deadly serious. And along the way, each story is, I hope, planting, maybe secretly, planting an idea in the audience's head. And at the end, all of those ideas come together. And hopefully, my intention anyway, is that you think about something profound. So, but I hope that audiences leave my shows feeling very entertained and they had lots of laughs along the way, but also that they've, you know, thought about something deadly serious and leave the auditorium ready to burn everything to the bloody ground.
You've performed If These Wigs Could Talk at Abbey Theatre in Dublin and Soho Theatre in London. What has the reception been like from these previous shows?
Well, I tend to write a new show about every 2 years, and this one is coming up and around 2 years old. And it started at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, but since then I've toured with this through the UK and London, as you mentioned, but also North America, Australia. I'm here now for the first time ever. And audiences react in some ways the same, because the show is designed to elicit a particular reaction, but it does also depend where you're performing. I mean, if you're performing in Soho Theatre in London, the audience is going to have a lot of gays there. And they are going to be waiting for particular kind of references, and they really get certain parts of the show. Whereas if you're doing it in a, say, a more rural theatre in Yorkshire, or, you know, in some American city that doesn't have a huge gay population, people, they resonate with different parts of the show more acutely. So it does, each audience is different. Every live performer will tell you that. And each audience responds in different ways to different parts of the show. But in general, I hope the show is well written and produced enough to elicit the essentially the same reaction, which is, yeah, I want people to feel inspired by the end. I want them to feel empowered, if I can use that slightly overused word, to do something about the situation we find ourselves in the current world, to sort of protect their own communities and fight on behalf of their own communities. And in particular, the show speaks about the queer community and the trans community, but hopefully it applies to everyone.
And by the time this interview airs, the show will be on its second night, and the show will continue on to the 23rd, aka the Sunday. Are tickets still available? And if so, where can people find out more information on how to attend?
Yes, the show is running through till next Sunday. Last show is the matinee on Sunday. It's on the Civic Theatre, Winter Garden Civic, and you can get tickets, I believe, through AucklandLive.co.nz.
Let's have a look real quickly.
That's right, .co.nz, that one.
Just double check, because sometimes our URLs are a bit random. It is, I can confirm, .co.nz. And it's on the front page, actually, which is really convenient. Awesome.
It's on what?
It's on the front page.
Well, there you go.
Love that.
Because I'm the pretty one. I'm the pretty one.
Awesome. Before we wrap up this chat, is there anything else you want to say just to end off on?
Yeah. Actually, we arrived here last Saturday evening, and I was appearing at the Big Gay Out in Hyde Park on Sunday, and I heard and saw some of what happened on Ponsonby Street with the Destiny Church crew. And what I would like to say is, and actually, and the show touches on this a lot, you know, deep and dramatic social change is actually possible if people organize and activate. And for the most part, that is a good thing. Ireland's a very good example. I think I mentioned already, homosexuality was a criminal offense till I was 25. And now Ireland is one of the most progressive and, you know, forward-thinking countries in the world when it comes to queer people. But it is also possible for that change to work in reverse and to go backwards. And we're seeing that happening, or attempts to make that happen, all around the world, here at home in Ireland, the US, UK, everywhere else in between. And so I think it's important to remember, and I'm particularly, I worry about young people, because in some ways this kind of stuff, the kind of thing that happened on Ponsonby Street, to me this is old hat. We've been through this, our community's been through this before, many things worse before, and we succeeded and defeated that kind of regressive thinking at a time when half of our community was dying, you know, of AIDS. So we are very strong, very resourceful when we need to be and want to be. And so I think sometimes young people might find this whole kind of thing a shock, because it might be new to them, because if you are, I don't know, in your 20s now, you know, you were sort of born into a society where you maybe felt things were always going to be quite rosy, or getting rosier all the time. And and now it's not. So I would just say the solution to all of these things is in community, in remembering where we came from and what we've already, and protecting those previous achievements. And the way to do that is by activating, finding strength in your community, and standing up for who and what you are, in spite of it sometimes being difficult.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.